Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, to Faith in Action. It's a new show locally produced here in Sioux City, Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC, Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. This show airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. We are so glad you tuned in. If you have been with us since we started the show, thank you for staying with us. If you're just joining, I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio Board member. And host of this show today. And in the studio with me are two of my BFFs now, permanent deacons for the Diocese of Sioux City, Dennis Brockhaus and his brother Patrick Brockhaus. And it has been so much fun to chat and talk about the commonalities in our lives and, you know, the things that kind of drive us in our faith and how it touches us. So we know quite a bit about both of you now, maybe more than we need to know, which is fine. And Patrick, in the last segment, shared a lot about, you know, the whole catechist formation and stuff. But Dennis, you were the one that really stuck your toe into the permanent diaconate waters first.
Yeah.
So kind of share with the listeners how that came about.
Okay. Well, it was, you know, as I said in the first segment, it was pretty just nonchalant. But what really started to drive, you know, my faith was this, like Pat, I was invited to be a catechist, and I was, you know, we live in the country, so I had to drive my son into Morningside for religious ed. And I had a friend of ours that said, you know, you ought to be a catechist. They're looking for an eighth grade teacher. And I thought, you know, I'm a practical guy. Well, I got to drive in. It's only for an hour. No sense of driving back. No sense of me sitting in the parking lot. So what the heck? And so starting to teach the faith helped me to develop my faith. And I think a big turning point is when you come to back into full communion of the church. And I didn't understand what it was like to be lacking that, but I was lacking it. And I was found myself on a Saturday afternoon driving around in Morningside, and it was the Holy Spirit nudging me, saying, you know, they're doing confessions. And you should go to that. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's very convenient, right? So I go into confession, and I sat down with Father, you know, our pastor, Father Gunther at the time, and I said, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I said, I can't even tell you the last time I went to confession. And he hit me in the head with these words, and I still remember it. And I don't even think he realized what he was saying. He says, well, welcome back. And I never really realized that I had left. You know, I had been participating in the faith at my own standards, on my own way. You know, that they, you know, there's that word cafeteria Catholic gets thrown around there a lot. And but it was on my own terms. And when he said welcome back, I didn't know I had left. And after a quite lengthy confession, I left that place with about 6 inches of between my feet and the floor, and never even realized the grace that you receive by returning back and being in full communion. You know, I was in communion, but I think the word full communion is what really hit me. And I tell that story all the time because it was a great moment of how do you come back into full grace? I was missing a lot of the graces from the Eucharist and from the church that it has to offer. And when those graces open back up, the spigot, we'll say, went full throttle, you know, wide open. You know, it cleansed me. It purified me. Now, you know, do I still struggle? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But being in full communion, it gave me a life that I'd never had before. The world become less important, and my faith and my church become more important. And actually, my relationship with Jesus become vital. I always thought he was a God that, you know, created me, set me out in the world, and sat back in the corners and never even did nothing with me. And what I found is he was alive in my life in the world. I started to see miracles and things happen around me that I had blinders on before. So that really helped in my formation as a deacon and learning, you know, more about the faith. A lot of my classmates were really super diehard Catholic men and families, and me and my wife would look at each other and they tell a story how they kneeled in glass and did the rosary with their kids, and we're like, wow, we really were terrible Catholic parents, you know. But you know, praise God that, like Pat had seen this change in my life, seeing who I was and who I'd become to be. My kids also, my adult children, started to see that. Drinking a beer with my son one night in the garage, he says, Dad, I think you're becoming a Jesus freak.
No.
And I said, you know what, son, I think you're right. And now they are raising my grandkids in a more Catholic way than my kids have never been raised. So they really have come into the faith, and I think it was because of my massive conversion. And it always comes down to relationship. Do you love Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? Is he an invisible God, or is he a God that's involved in your life? And I think that's what set me on that path. And then using all of my experiences in my life and hillbilliness and being a greasy mechanic and all those kind of things, that helps me relate with people that I'm trying to bring the gospel to. It makes it more real.
So how long ago did you start the formation to be a permanent deacon?
So I started that formation, it would have been about 11 years ago. So I had 5 years of formation. I've been a deacon 6 years. So it, you know, and we could probably go back 10 years prior to that, to where I started to get serious in my faith and the Holy Spirit was trying to, you know, to call me home, you know, home with a capital H.
Okay. And so, Patrick, you were just ordained this year, a permanent deacon for the Diocese of Sioux City, Iowa. And how long ago would that have been? Another 5 years or maybe a little past that when you started?
Yeah, another 5 years. And you know what? Prior to that, I think, I tell you, Dennis probably had a good role in my formation process just for he was throwing little planting seeds at me. And I think one of the biggest things that I think really changed me was Liturgy of the Hours. I did that 2 years prior to my calling. I was praying. I did it for Lent. I thought, you know, I'm gonna do something new for Lent. So I'm going to pray the Liturgy of the Hours twice a day for 40 days. And I got done with that. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool, you know. Gave up my time for prayer to make it personal. And then Dennis goes, he says, well, you know, whenever you get, you know, if you're doing Liturgy Hours, you got to just keep doing it. Like that Lent is, right? You give up things, right? You're supposed to just keep doing it, not after 40 days. Like, oh, man, all right. I suppose I can, and I did. I can probably count on my hand, even, I don't think I've missed maybe one or two prayers in the last 7 years of the daily prayer. It's just something that I made myself do, right? And I put that time in, and I made it a what do you call it? Like a
habit?
Thank you. Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
It turned into a habit.
I'm here. I'm the host. Yeah.
I'm terrible with words, but anyway.
And one thing about the Liturgy of the Hours is that we were taught early on in diaconate formation is that is the prayers that we're required to do for the church, not for us. So we do get a benefit from praying for the church, but the time that we spend doing Liturgy Hours is for the church. It has been a prayer that has gone on for 2,000 years all the way throughout the world. All the clergy are called to do it. So it has been an endless, stopless prayer, and it is a great honor in order to participate in praying for the church. It explains how us humans have been unsuccessful in destroying the church. We'd have done it years ago if we were able to do it. We continue to try to do it. So that Liturgy Hours prayer is for the church, part of our commitment to serving Christ. And then we throw our own personal prayer in that same prayer time. Both me and Pat have our prayer rooms, and I've adopted to pray with my wife in the morning because it's as I get to be a busy deacon, it's the only time she sees me. So we decided prayer time is better in the morning before I head out the door.
And we do have listeners who are not Catholic. They perhaps profess another faith. We hope they have a faith-filled life. But explain what is the Liturgy of the Hours. I think most of our listeners, if we would say, I recite the rosary, would go, oh, yeah, most listeners know the rosary. Even if they have no faith whatsoever, they're familiar with the rosary. So explain a little bit, what is the Liturgy of the Hours?
So the Liturgy of the Hours is basically a collection of prayers that comes from Scripture, mostly the Psalms. And it is it starts off with some hymns that me and Pat aren't really good singers. We end
oh,
up,
I sing really good.
We end up reading, I read the hymns.
Okay.
You know. It seems that, you know, the dog thanked me for reading instead of singing. But then you're doing some Psalms.
And Psalms are like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not.
Right.
That's the Psalms.
Psalm 103,
okay.
You know, and all
51.
That.
Correct. Yeah, all the Psalms.
Okay.
And then it goes into a bit of intercessions where we pray for the church, certain intercessory songs. And then we close with a prayer. And then I add my finals when we do the intercessory prayers is I inject the intercessory prayers that I'm asking for on behalf of people that ask me to pray for them and this and that. And I always have a prayer for those that are in jail. When we go every week, we have them give us their prayers. And I promise them that Joe and I will pray for these their requests. And it goes on perpetual. We just keep adding and adding to the list. So I've got quite a bit of them in my envelope.
Okay.
For those. So.
So listeners, now you know a little bit more about the Liturgy of the Hours. You know, it all isn't all fun and games here at KFHC Ponca Sioux City, KOIA Storm Lake. We are so glad you tuned in to Faith in Action. Please stay tuned because we will be right back after a shout out to our supporters and our underwriters and some public service announcements.